From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue his series in the Lord's Prayer with the next portion of a message entitled Lessons from the Eternity and Immutability of God. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this sermon clip from the senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
We all want joy. We do. We crave it. And it's not carnal, you know, to crave joy. God made us to crave joy. He made us to understand joy. I mean, you never really look at, you know, an owl and think, oh, the owl looks joyful today, or whatever. Creatures, generally, they just kind of look the same for the most part. Sometimes some more complex creatures seem to exhibit a sense of joy. There are creatures that do, but not like man, not to the whole spectrum of man's capability to experience joy or sadness and the whole spectrum of that. The emotional aspect of man is so complex. And God has made it that way. He intends it to be that way. And He purposes that we would find our absolute joy in Him. Now, what do we naturally do? Well, we run to everything but Him, don't we? We run to hobbies, relationships that are other than a relationship with the Lord. We run to all sorts of time-wasting endeavors. We go after money and power. These things we think, this will bring me joy. This will bring me joy. And even wealth itself, some have desired it, as 1 Timothy 6 says, and have pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. Many sorrows. They thought it was the path to joy. Wealth, freedom, material freedom. And it was the path to sorrow. And they knew it not. Joy is what we crave. And you will find it as you pursue Christ, as you long to know Him, as you go after Him, as you make Him the pearl of great price in your life. The pursuit of Jesus Christ is the heart of the issue. That I may know Him, Paul says. As an older man who's lived for perhaps 3 decades on the Christian life, his longing continually is, I just need to know Him. I may know Him. Joy. The joys of sin are but for a season, but the joys of Christ will extend into eternity. And I ask you tonight to answer the question in your heart, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? If it isn't obviously and definitively Jesus Christ, you need to correct it. You're going to be grieved. You're going to be saddened. You're going to find out that life isn't all that you wanted it to be. And it's not because of what you achieved or you accomplished, but it's because of one thing. You didn't pursue Christ.
Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love.
Rejoice around thee,
earth and heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain call us to rejoice in thee. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love, wondrous peace, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Current focus is on the word forever found in the concluding doxology of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing five aspects that an awareness of eternity should produce in the lives of believers. First, it will impress the solemnity of eternity upon our praying. How prone we are to be taken up with mundane matters. Yet, if we would live effectively for God, we must refuse to allow the matters of time to keep us from prayer. Also, as we'll see, the burden of our praying should concentrate on spiritual things rather than mere earthly needs. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Lessons from the Eternity and Immutability of God.
Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is the doxology, the great consummation of the Lord's Prayer. It teaches us that the eternity and the immutability or the unchangeableness of the perfections and the praise of our God give powerful direction and strong confidence to our praying. Think of that. The eternity and the immutability of God's perfections and praise give powerful direction to our praying and strong confidence to our praying. If you examine this text, I think you'll find that it does five things as it teaches us far-reaching lessons from the eternity and the immutability of God. Now, I'll probably not get all five of them done today, but we can start. This text, first and foremost, impresses the solemnity of eternity upon our praying. Now, I have had cause to emphasize in past weeks that praying, by its very nature, is an earthly activity. Necessarily, when we pray, our praying takes note of earthly situations and earthly needs. But this great ending to the Lord's Prayer tells us that our praying must never lose sight of the eternal dimension. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means first and foremost, never become so burdened with temporal matters, even legitimate things, that you neglect the place of prayer. The Bible is full of this. Paul told the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18. And the very first verse says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul, as he gave the Ephesians in chapter 6 of that epistle, the details of the Christian's armor, talked then about how to put on the armor. The hymn writer says, each piece put on with prayer. And that catches the apostle's meaning. For he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. The psalmist said in the 55th Psalm, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Again, we think of Jonah down in the belly of the great fish. And he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. Now we may say, well, Jonah was in a fix. He was in an extreme of necessity. Therefore, he had to pray. Well, that's true. But in conjunction with all these other statements of Scripture and the commands of these texts, the message is that if you're in necessity, pray. If you're in prosperity, pray. If it's the morning time, pray. If it's the evening time, pray. If you feel like it, pray. If you don't feel like it, pray. What we are learning is we should never become so burdened with the matters of time that we allow them to crush the spirit of prayer and lead us to neglect prayer. Nothing in this world should keep God's people from prayer. Now let's understand that. This is not just the work of the preacher. It is. Let me tell you, some of the most prayerless people in America are the preachers of America. If you want proof of that, all you've got to do is read the surveys that magazines that somehow or other are sent out to preachers from time to time. Surveys that are done among preachers. And you will find that preachers struggle with this matter of prayer. Many of them pray very, very little. And I suppose it's obvious in their preaching. But this is not just a matter for preachers. This is a matter for Christians. This is a matter for the saints of God. Pray, and don't let anything crowd out the place of prayer in your life. There's nothing so important that it should take the place of the closet time with God. Jesus said, enter into your closet, shut the door, shut out the world, shut out your business, shut out your friends, yes, shut out your family. We hear so much talk about quality time with family, and that's a very good idea. But remember, the quality time with God, not a few tired moments at the end of a busy day. Not the dismissive nod that says, well now, God, I have given you all the time I can, and that should satisfy you for another while. Not that abominable dismissiveness toward the God of heaven. But the honest setting aside of a time and a place to get alone with God. Don't let anything in this world ever make you neglect the place of prayer. To keep the eternal dimension in view means also never limit your praying to matters that are merely temporal. The Lord Jesus shows us this in this very prayer as he tells us what to pray for. These are not merely temporal matters. They're not merely matters of health and wealth. Now, those are legitimate issues for prayer. We should pray for matters that concern the body, the needs of the body, and the needs in the material sense. Yes, we should pray for those things, but not exclusively. Read the Lord's Prayer and you'll find that praying goes way beyond our daily bread. The Lord Jesus gives an example of what it is to pray with eternity in view. In John chapter 17, he prays for all the spiritual things for his church in this world with a view to eternity. Take the example of the apostles. They had many temporal needs. Many of them needed money. Paul had such need of money, and he was so neglected that he had to labor by day and preach by night. He had to earn his keep. His letters make it clear that that was something that shouldn't have happened because it was a hindrance to the work of God, but he did it anyway. There was financial need. There were material needs. We read of Epaphroditus and his physical condition and the great need. And this is a matter for prayer. But when you read the prayers of the apostles, what was the great burden? It was spiritual and it was eternal. Here are some of the things that we should be praying for if we have the eternal dimension in view. Like the apostles, we should pray for the spread of the gospel. This is what they prayed for. Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, "Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." To the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "Pray also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." To the Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 1 of the second epistle, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Or literally, that the word of the Lord may run. Isn't that a good way to pray? We look out in America today, we look out on our outreach activity and our mission work today, and it appears that the gospel is stumbling along, halting along, or maybe I'd be better to say that we are stumbling and halting along as we bring the gospel. Paul says, pray that the gospel may run, that it may have a mighty, fast, free access to places it has not reached before. Let's pray for the spread of the gospel. And as a sidelight, when you pray for that, you know you're really praying for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world before the Savior comes. So when you pray for the spread of the gospel, you're praying for Him to come. We should pray for the salvation of souls. Paul said, when he wrote to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I get a little upset with these so-called Calvinists. Now, I say so-called because I am what the world calls a Calvinist. Believe in the doctrines of grace, every one of them, every bit of them. But I get upset with these modern egghead, hard-hearted, cold Calvinists, falsely so-called, who would even find fault with you for praying for sinners. I have known some of them. I have known preachers who have practically banned their people in their prayer meeting from ever lifting up a poor sinner to God and praying, "God, have mercy upon him and save him." Somehow or other, in their little pea-sized brain, that does not gel with their view of the sovereignty of God and his eternal purpose. And Paul had no difficulty praying for sinners. No difficulty whatsoever. Such was his passion for sinners that he said in the previous chapter, "I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for their sake." Can you imagine that? He didn't wish to be accursed from Christ. But such was his passion to see them saved, if it would have saved Israel, Paul said, "I would gladly go to hell." That's a passion indeed. There's no cold egghead philosophic theology there. There's a heart on fire for God, praying for the salvation of souls. We should pray for the establishment of the saints, starting with ourselves. You read in the book of Ephesians, you'll find in chapter 1, Paul gives his great prayer for the saints at Ephesus. That's what we ought to be praying for the saints here. And that's what we ought to be praying for ourselves. I better not start in that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. It just happens to be one of my favorite passages. And you might get home for breakfast tomorrow morning if I started for that. But on the other hand, you might not. So let me recommend you go back to Ephesians 1 from verse 15 onwards and go through that prayer. And when you start praying that way, you'll notice that you're praying. You're praying for the glory and the light of God to dawn in your heart, to teach you what you have in Christ. And then it goes on until your soul is lifted up to heaven, where you see the Lord Jesus exalted far above all principality and power and every name that is named.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.